Ruchim Abayim to another week of Parsha Insights, Parsha's Baal Yitzchak. We're gathered in Gan Ariel, so that means today you're going to hear. For those who are in the Gan, for those who are hearing it live, and for those who will hear Be'ezus Hashem when it's sent out, the Shira said, L'zecher Nishmas U'le'ile Nishmas. Rebecca Basterin Elion Ben Rachel Mer, the Neshama Tahiras have a lichtige, lichtige Gan Eden. And let's try to learn about the Parsha, as we say, often let it enhance our Shabbos Kodesh. I ask you, please share these insights, hence the name of the shiur, Parsha Insights. Share these insights over Shabbos, share it at the table, and let it bring added Kedusha to our Shabbos Kodesh. A fabulous pshat that we're going to begin with, and I think it will open up into a great, great concept. Open up in Baal Yitzchak Perek Yud Aleph Pasuk Dalet. If you're looking inside, Matoiv Umanoyim. And if you're not looking inside, then you'll write it down on the blackboard of your heart. And when you're home, you'll make sure to look up the Pasuk inside so it sounds crystal clear. Perek Yud Aleph Pasuk Dalet. It's talking about the Erev Rav, the people, the rabble-rousers, who sought primarily to complain. The Pasuk says, the hasafsu, regarding the rabble, and if you take a look, Rashi says it's referring to the Erev Rav. And note that the root of the word v'hasafsu is asaf, like in asifa, to gather. They didn't just complain, but they came together, they gathered together to complain. And that's so true, parenthetically. It's not the point of tonight's shiur, but it's one thing if a person has a complaint. But when you gather others, when you create an asifa, and you're gathering, and the purpose to come together is I'll incite you and you incite me, so that everybody can start feeling the flames of complaint. Of course, to complain in as an individual is not a good thing, but to complain, the hasafsuf, to bring together an asifa, where the point of the gathering is to complain and to be critical, that's a terrible thing. The hasafsuf asher b'kirboi hisavu ta'ava. The Erev Rav, and they got others involved in, well, they had a taiva, they cultivated a craving. The Pasuk says they asked primarily, Miachileinu basar, who's going to feed us meat? They were lacking meat. They had tons of meat. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, Miachileinu basar, v'chilo hayo lehem basar, they didn't have meat. Perek Yoraleh Pasuk Dalet. They weren't lacking meat. The Pasuk says, as Rashi quotes, v'tzoyinu bakar mikmeh, Kaved Ma'id. They had an abundant amount of livestock. And then Rashi says, and if you want to say that until that point it was already eaten, that can't be. Because it said regarding entering Eretz Yisrael, all I'm doing is quoting from Rashi, you should be looking inside as well. Umikne Rav Hoya Livne God, Rilivne Ruvein, Bamidbar Lamed Beis Aleph. Again, talking about their immense wealth that they had in livestock, primarily to the Shvatim, Reuven, and Gad. So what does it mean that they're complaining, Mi yachileinu, Bosor, who's going to feed us meat? We just read Rashi. There was clearly no shortage of meat. Time and time again, this is what Rashi asks. Rashi is very bothered by this, and therefore Rashi says at the end three words, Elishem Evakshim Alila. Elishem Evakshim Alila means their complaint was only a pretext. They were looking for a pretext. They were not complaining that they were lacking meat. They wanted an excuse to complain against Hashem. Now you could appreciate what I said earlier even more so, the hasafsu. They made an asifa out of it. They gathered together to create an asifa of complaining. Not the meat. The meat was the pretext. The complaint, unfortunately, was against the Ribbono Shel Olam. Ad kan divrei Rashi. Please, please look at Rashi inside yourself as well. I saw, it was shown to me, an outstanding pshat from Rabbi Avram Shapiro, Zatzal. Rabbi Avram Shapiro brings down, and I want to read you some of his words, a fabulous, fabulous pshat that I think we have to really delve into tonight and bring many proofs in both directions to what he says so powerfully. Although there are many questions that are asked, I'm going to focus on two of them. There are many questions, but two of them in particular. Number one, if a person is looking for something as a pretext, something to complain about, make it believable. Make it plausible. To go ahead, everybody knows that this excuse is clearly untrue. Who's going to feed us meat? You have tons of meat. You have an abundance of livestock. So if you're looking to complain, well, I'm not justifying it, but find a complaint that's plausible. Isn't that what a good lawyer would say? Yeah. Find a complaint that, yes, just made it to tens of thousands. Find something that's believable. But you're not convincing me by complaining you're missing the thing that you goofa have an abundance of. At least find something that is believable. More than that, actually, I will throw in an additional question about Midbar Yud Aleph Vav. It says, V'nafshenu, just a bit later, the next pasuk. They say in Pasuk Vav, Nafshenu Yevesha, they're complaining about the food. Our life is parched. We have nothing. We have nothing but the mun. What do you mean you have nothing but the mun? We know exactly how the Torah talks about the mun and praises the mun. The mun is spoken about in the loftiest term. It's the food of the angels. Any taste that you wanted or desired, completely absorbed by your body, advantage and quality upon quality and upon quality, and they're speaking this way about something that Torah says is so to be praised, they're so disparaging about? And perhaps the question that I enjoy the most, the one that spoke to me the most, if you take a look, again, we're in the same parak, so you should be looking inside. Take a look at Pasuk Yud Aleph. That means Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Yud Aleph. After all of the complaining, Moshe Rabbeinu in Yud Aleph turns it to Hashem, Vayomer Moshe Hashem, Lama Hayayisa Lavdecha. He's asking Hashem why this has been done to him. In other words, he cries out to the Ribbono Shel Olam, essentially it's a cry, what should I do with this nation? We know that's famous. If you take a look, a few psukim later, now turn to Pasuk Tezayin. The Ribbono Shel Olam gives him the answer. Look at Tezayin. Vayayimer Hashem al Moshe, Esfor li shivim ish mizikne Yisrael. The response is, gather me a Sanhedrin. Gather me the 70 elders, and we're going to go ahead and create a Sanhedrin. Why is that the answer? You would expect the answer to be, first and foremost, let us tackle their complaint directly. They're complaining that they don't have meat. Hashem says, I'll respond by promising you meat. But before that response takes place, the first response that's put in right here is something that seems to be perhaps very out of place, a different subject. Let's establish a Sanhedrin. Establish me for me, Shivim Mizikneh Ha'ish. And then afterwards, we get back to the promise of me. But why in the world is this exchange of the Sanhedrin put in as Hashem's answer to the Asafsuf, the complaint about me? That question, while all of the questions till now were good, that question to me speaks volumes. Maybe that's why I enjoy the answer so much. The Bavram Shapiro Zatzal answers, and I want to read you some of the words from his Sefer so beautifully, talking about the 70 elders, that was not a digression, as I indicated in the last question I just asked. This was Gufa the Ribbono Shel Olam answering directly, without any ambiguity, the complaint. Here's the response. And Rabbi Avraham Shapiro begins explaining that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu went ahead and said that you have to gather the Sanhedrin, he says this was the tshuva, this was the answer to their complaint. And listen to the words he says. Ki ha-emes hi, the truth of the matter is, she-chosro lehem le-bnei Yisrael malos ruchnius. What was really lacking, by Klal Yisrael was the Milu Ruchnius, the spiritual state of the people. If they would have had spiritual fulfillment, then the Asafsuf, the craving and what they claimed they were lacking, they wouldn't have felt that it was missing. You can ask me, Akasha, one is addressing the spiritual and one is answering the physical. That's Gufa the point of Rabbi Avraham Shapiro. He's explaining as the Bali Musar saying, sometimes when a person feels that they're lacking in Gashmias, or might I add, I am so totally consumed, I need this and that and overwhelmed. Dust is 11? What type of life is that? It's really a symptom of something much deeper, that spiritually your soul is empty. Because if a person would have the neshama being fed, if a person would have the neshama being, I don't want to say satiated, because as we said last week, you should want more and more, then a person would not have the asafsum and the complaint. Memela, it's really a sign of something much. We explain many times something fabulous based on the concept of Reb Shamshon Rafael Hirsch, and that is that if two words sound similar in Lashon HaKodesh, the two words have meaning that are similar. The word to grow is Tzomeach, Tzadi Memches, and the word to be genuinely happy is Tzomeach. Tzomeach and Tzomeach. Sameach and Sameach are so similar. According to that concept of Rav Shamshon Rafael Hirsch, is to teach us that if a person wants to be truly Sameach, they have to be a Sameach. If you really want to feel spiritual fulfillment, it has to come from Sameach, that I'm willing to grow, I'm willing to put in an effort. It may not be easy, as we've said many times, but I'm willing to persevere and to try. But if a person will delve into, and sometimes, by the way, when we don't feed our neshama, I want to make something clear. We at times feel that way. Sometimes it's for a week, sometimes for half a day, sometimes for a month. We just have to work on getting back. I remember I told a story last year. Yeah, sometimes we do fall into that sense of we're not spiritually growing or we're dissatisfied with our spiritual growth. We feel an inner emptiness. We all feel that from time to time, perhaps. I pulled over a mice. I wish it didn't happen, but I guess it's good that I did. I got a good story out of it. It was a year ago, Elul Aser Shemei Tshuva, I don't recall, and I was flying from here to Newark. You remember I said this in a drasha, and we noticed we were in a holding pattern, and the captain over the loudspeaker announced, as you could notice, we are in a holding pattern. I think he said it was with like another 15 other planes, because air traffic control said that in Newark and the area around, there was difficult weather conditions, and therefore the planes can't land. And then the captain, and I'm not embellishing this, a cuticle, made the following comments. So ladies and gentlemen, we'll be, as air traffic control ordered us, in this holding pattern for another hour, 60 minutes. But you needn't worry because the plane has enough extra fuel for 20 minutes. Now, you don't need me to tell you 20 is less than 60, right? You got that on your own, I should say, whether you're in the Gan listening live or here when it'll go out. Only much, much later did he clarify, barely, that he meant there's enough fuel for 20 minutes beyond the hour, so you needn't worry. But he didn't make it clear at all, and people mamish started to panic. It was a nebuch. Everybody was yelling and screaming. Everything broke out. It was a panic. Here you're being told that you have 60 minutes in the air, but only enough fuel for 20 extra minutes. Why did it end up being a problem? Because a few minutes later, air traffic control allowed us clearance to land. So we all figured since we landed right away, well within the 20 minutes, we were okay. He barely explained what he meant. You know, I thought to myself, I know it sounds like a little bit of a cliche, but it's true. The Ribbono Shel Olam is the pilot of the world, not of a plane. And we all go into spiritual holding patterns. You know that I just, you can't get in, I wish I could get more into davening like I was 2 weeks ago. A couple of weeks ago, I was mamish into the sugi. I find myself struggling. I was so careful last week with my shmiras haloshin. This week, I've been slipping up, and the list goes on. People go into spiritual holding patterns. They sometimes feel and sense a dissatisfaction spiritually, if you will, an inner emptiness. But the Ribbono Shel Olam, who is the pilot of the world, says, I have enough extra fuel to keep everyone going, and when you will come back, and it will happen, you'll get the fuel. Sometimes it happens after 2 days, 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years, and it depends on what it is. But sometimes we do have a spiritual inner dissatisfaction, a spiritual emptiness, a spiritual holding pattern, and the Ribbono Shel Olam says, listen clearly, I have enough extra fuel. There's enough Esh HaTorah to keep you going, to bring you back until you get back on track. So even if the person is not feeling like the Tzomeach today, tomorrow, the next day, you daven that it should return. In fact, many people say that's the explanation in Ashrei. You know, when you say the pay of Peseach, you have to have Kavona. Peseach es yodechu, you have to. If you don't have proper Kavona, you have to return. Peseach es yodechu masbiya l'chol chai ratzayin. Literally, the second half of that verse means that Hashem satisfies and satiates chol chai ratzayin, the will and desire of every person. But one of the beautiful explanations we've said in the past is we ask Hashem, Umasbia lechol chai, you know what it is that I want you to give me and everyone? Rotzoin. Give us the will. Give us the rotzoin. Give us the desire. Give us that rotzoin to have the extra fuel to get back and to be a tzameach. So I want to make it clear, while having inner emptiness is not good, and dissatisfaction with spirituality is certainly not good, but sometimes it does happen, like in the examples I gave. I want to get back to where I was in davening, back to where I was in learning, back to where I was in my tzniyus. I find that I've been slipping up the last few months. Back to where I was, how I kept Shabbos, back to where I was in my shmiras haloshein. There's enough extra fuel for the person to come back and to be a sameach. Because really only when you have sameach, and you feel that inner contentment, I want Ratzon, I want the desire, I want the bread, then a person is Sameach. And so as the Balei Musar say, when the person is feeling that all of a sudden he wants Gashmias, and he wants more of the wealth, and more of the comfort, and more of the Gashmias, and more of the possessions, and he wants, and he wants, and he wants, and you know, like the Chazal say, you have 200, you want more. You still feel that you're profoundly lacking. Everybody, you're never satisfied. I think a number of years ago we said over. You're allowed to repeat a joke, I think. We usually don't say jokes in Parsha Insights. You're allowed to repeat a joke. I'm getting a nod from most people here. You're allowed to. I remember hearing this many years ago from Meir Virabi, Reb Zev Lefshlita, who means so much to us in around the world, but specifically here in South Florida. But it's so true. It's mamish tonight's vort. that there was a fellow who worked for somebody, and his boss, Mamish, had everything, Hoin Rav Kol Tov, and he had the chveis, a limousine that like had everything possible. It had a chveis, a 20-foot rolling bar. It had a 15-foot place to listen to music. It had everything, every pitch of the. This fellow thinks to himself, you know, one day I'm going to work my way up and I'm going to show the boss. He leaves the company and he works 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 and he works. Vahi Ayayim, he got the limo that his boss had. Same model, same length, same style, also with the 20-foot rolling bar and the 15-foot music station. He pulls up on the street next to his boss by a red light. He gets out, and he's banging on the window. The boss rolls down the window and says, he says to the boss, "Boss, look, I'm like you. I made it up the corporate ladder. I have the same limo as you, the same color, the design, the style, the length, the speed. It also has a 20-foot rolling bar and a 15-foot music station. What do you say to that?" So the boss looks at him and says, "For that you called me out of the shower? Boy, now I have to get one that has a shower." And then, 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 and then. Because that's the way it is when a person craves the gashmius, the craving is the problem itself. The neshama is so empty that there is no amount of gashmius and material abundance that could ever satisfy it. And that's what we have to make sure we become a tzameach to be a sameach. And don't worry that sometimes we go into that spiritual holding pattern. I told you the Ribbono Shel Olam is not the pilot just of a plane, of the world, and he'll help us with our ratzon. And that, says Rabbi Avraham Shapiro, is exactly how to answer what's taking place in these psukim. They went ahead and they complained. They weren't complaining about the meat. They had an abundance of meat. If it would have been about something else, they were complaining because there was no satisfaction. Their neshama was empty. So they wanted and they wanted and they wanted and they wanted. Of course they were going to feel dissatisfied, but the complaint was never about the food. That was irrational. They had the food. There would have been another complaint instead. Their complaining showed internally there was a deficiency. So what does the Ribbono Shel Olam do? We ask the question, why did he first speak to them about the Sanhedrin and the 70 Zakenim that seemed to have been a side point before he got to the answer? Zochrim Avram Shapiro, no! That is the answer. The answer to all the complaining shows that they're clearly spiritually dissatisfied. Their neshama feels empty. And therefore, the Ribbono Shel Olam says, you want to know the direct answer, the exact answer? Create a Sanhedrin. Now that is addressing the source of your problem. Because the Sanhedrin means you're going to have more spiritual leadership. It means you're going to have more guidance. It means you're going to have more Torah. It means you're going to have more shiurim. It means that the spiritual condition of your nation will be better. Now that is addressing the problem. So asking for a Sanhedrin and Shivim Zakenim is not a side issue, and then we'll get to the complaint. This was addressing the complaint. Because the complaint is, you want to complain and more, complain and more, complain and more. Obviously, the source of that is there's no tzameach, there's no rutzin, there's a spiritual emptiness, and a shama that doesn't feel anything. So let me create a Sanhedrin who will bring you rabbeim and rabbonim and teachers, who will bring you meireh hayroah, leadership and guidance, who will bring you the fire of Torah. Now that is directly addressing the problem. Because when a person feels the discontentment spiritually, and the person is looking and seeking, what they're really looking and seeking is for purpose, for Torah, for closeness to Hashem. And the number one way to address that problem is get yourself to Sanhedrin. You have a Rav? You have a Rebbe? You have a Meir Derech, a leader? You don't do it on your own. You need the guidance, you need the leadership. And let your children see that that's what you crave. Let it fill the neshama. Let there be a rotzayim. Let there be a bren. Let there be a tzameach. So we could truly be tzameach. So a Sanhedrin and their Torah leadership is the most direct answer possible. No? Do we have that in our lives? Know the importance of lulei sairos l'shashuai. How many times have we heard people say they have this material pleasure, this gashmias, but it just doesn't come to a gishmak or rajba, a second seder in yeshiva, attending a shir, doing a mitzvah, a gutshmona esrei. You know deep down when the neshama feels that none of the material wealth or gashmias even comes close. It shouldn't be said in the same breath. I must tell you on that note, before we begin to conclude this year, a few evenings ago I had this chus. I went with some of our children to Philadelphia for the 5th annual Adirei HaTorah. I was there with some of your family. I sat close to them, actually. In fact, I think we flew back together on the same plane, actually. Do you know what it's like being in a stadium with tens of thousands? It's hard to take in and to give over such an experience. Mike, my son said, it was mamish an experience. If you were there, there's nothing that I need to say to describe it. And if you weren't present, then there's nothing I could give over, even in a 10-hour shir, that would convey what it's like. To be in a stadium, in an arena with tens of thousands that came for Adirei HaTorah to proclaim that it's the learning of the Torah, the Kvod HaTorah, the Yungah Light that are learning, that truly supports the world. Lulei Seiroscha Shashuai. You are surrounded by tens of thousands, Loindei Torah, that are the happiest people in the world. Their Sameach is unparalleled. Why? Because every day and every moment with Torah, they feed themselves Sameach, Sameach, Sameach. Reb Uri Deutsch, who gave such a masterful drasha, explained, while it's true that a large part of the evening was Kvod HaTorah, but what is supposed to come out from the Kvod HaTorah is Simchas HaTorah. The Simcha, the vivaciousness, the excitement, the enthusiasm of Simchas HaTorah, that only comes from Tzameach, from the neshama that feels that it's being fed. And that doesn't happen from any of the limousines, with or without a shower, in the world. Reb Nachum Binder spoke so beautifully when he gave examples of the dedication of the Adirei HaTorah, the Yungah Light, the Loindei Torah. He gave a particular example how there's very, very little gashmias. So much so that he describes the younger man who's driving in the morning to first Seder, and he has to call the bank to find out, did the small check he wrote out to the babysitter for the night before, did it clear, did it bounce? Only to be told by the bank that yet once again the check bounced and his account is in the red. But minutes later, when that younger man walks into first Seder, he gets lost in the Yam HaTalmud with Adirei HaTorah, and he's mutching over a Rasbar, over a Chais, that he doesn't even remember what happened. Lule Sarokha Shashuai. Now that's a Sameach. That's somebody who is truly Sameach. Lule Sarokha Shashuai. Someone who wants to quench his neshama, his ratzin. Now that's what makes you truly happy. I hope, Be'ezras Hashem, as we're going to read Parshas Ba'aloicha this Shabbos, and we're going to learn the asafs of those who complain. The answer to their complaint was the Sanhedrin, have a rav, have a rebbe, go to another shir, learn more in Torah, daven better, get involved in another mitzvah. That, Sameach, truly being Sameach. I hope each and every one of us on our own level will be zeich masbiya l'chol chai rotzim, to have the rotzim, to have the desire for us, for our kinderlach, and for their families, to be able to realize that this growth of spirituality, feeding our neshama, now that's be'ezras Hashem, what will continue to bring us simcha. Yidei that, may we, our children, our einiklach, all of Klal Yisrael, Taka, feel like we're the happiest people in the world because our neshama, our inner soul, is constantly being fed that which it needs.